that our purpose here is to get to be changed, not to stay the same. The purpose of the book is to really prod you and to poke you where it hurts sometimes. How many know sometimes you need to be poked pretty hard? To be able to wake up, okay? And my intent is not to hurt or insult, but it is intending that all of us would grow up and become mature in God. That's the purpose of this church. It is to be built upon apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and evangelists. It is not designed for you and me to do it on our own. We need each other. We need the anointing of the Lord's Holy Spirit to receive His instructions. And I know that some of you are saying, well, I don't know how. Well, if you listen and you watch, you will learn. That's what pupils do. That's what disciples do. Jesus said to those that He chose, come and do what?
Follow me.
He didn't say do it on your own. Amen? He didn't say do it your way. So He wanted Himself to be watched and to observe. If you watch and you observe, what's going to happen? You're going to mature. You're going to grow. You're going to change. Because God is intending for us to become a body of believers. Now, those of you who take a right foot and try to put the left shoe on it, what happens? Foot hurts. Try working on the whole day with the wrong shoes on. You're going to find that it's going to be a very uncomfortable situation. The same thing's going to happen when you first come in here. You're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable because you're going to be walking in a new way. And you're going to find that, yes, your toes are getting crunched and so on and so forth. But the purpose of that is for you to be able to say, okay, God, what am I doing and how do I change it? And when do I put the right shoe on the right foot and the left foot in a comfortable place? And it's going to happen to you gradually. So it's not an accusing thing that we do. It's a correction. It's an adjustment. If you see someone having a hard time, yes, we need to focus. But you know, like we had a nice little resurrection in the back seat this morning. Okay? And she had even brought her own provisions, but she couldn't feed herself. So, that's the way God works. Somebody else brought the spoon and gave her some food. She came back to life. That's a great example of what church is all about. I want you to bow your heads. We're going to pray. Because the word that He gave me this morning is to really make you wake up. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you now in a big way. I want to comprehend. I want to understand. I want to taste for myself what real righteousness is instead of my own head trip towards myself. You say, what is He up to? I'm trying to get you to wake up that yourself is not that great. Do I need any hands for that one? Self is a problem. Okay? The Lord gave me a couple questions this morning. Can I, as I am, be receiving God's blessings? Try it on. Can I, as I am, be receiving God's blessings? Now, don't look around. Just close your eyes. If you have already the knowledge on the inside that you can, put your hand up. Those of you who feel you can't, would you put your hand up? Wave it way up. Okay, I'm going to talk to you guys first. can open your eyes now. I didn't want you to look at each other, because you see what happens is when you're feeling guilty, you can't receive from God. It can't be done. When you're feeling all kinds of emotions about how ugly you are, how hopeless you are, there's no way that your heavenly Father is going to bless you any more than your earthly Father would have blessed you. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. If your mom was on your case, and I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about forever, okay? And she constantly showed you how ugly you are, how would you be able to receive from the Holy Spirit, who is the mother figure in the heavens? You couldn't do it. Because you're constantly in guilt and condemnation. Where did you get all those ideas from? You got them from the law. Thou shalt not. And you can fill in any blank you want. Next question. Can I, as I am, be healed? And I don't need to have you put your hand up, because I know you're going to be qualifying the same answer. So what must I do to be healed and to receive God's blessings? And how can I be set free from the tormenting that goes on inside of me? If you try to do this on your own, you're going to be in a very sore state of affairs, and it's not going to take very long that you're going to get depressed. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
How many have visited that space before? Thank you. So what am I saying now? I am going to take you to the word of the Lord and his opinion of you rather than your opinion of yourself. Because your opinion of yourself sometimes could be way off center, and you need an adjustment in your thinking. Scripture says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as you think about yourself and as you perceive about yourself, so will you be in the earth. That means if you perceive yourself to be a mess, you're going to create a mess. And you're going to get what?
A bigger mess.
A bigger mess. Okay. The purpose of the book about being blessed is so that you'll get a new opinion and a new word of knowledge to really understand that God has a plan to really bless you. But you've got to get a new mindset. You've got to get a new mindset. You've got to get a new way of thinking about yourself. St. Paul's letter to the Romans is all about that. So my suggestion would be that you would begin to look at Romans chapter 2. And I'm going to take you to verse 28, which is where I want to start to get you to see a little bit about what our God is trying to do to the Jew. Now, he's dealing with Jewish people in that day because there were many, and he was a Jew himself. So he had to learn this lesson for himself before he could teach it to somebody else. Romans 2:28. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No. A man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man, his praise is not from men, but from God. So in other words, here St. Paul is saying, I'm a real Jew now because of what the Holy Spirit has done inside of me. And it's not because of my legal status of circumcision that I'm a Jew. It's my spirit being that has been readjusted. And I can think of myself as an honored man of God to carry his word and his promises to all the nations. Because you see, that's what the Jews were designed to do. Verse 1 of chapter 3. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way, first of all, they have been entrusted with the very word of God. So the Jews had a system and a word that had been given to them, and their job was to carry that word from generation to generation until there would be a day where victory would come. And the whole world would be changed. That wasn't their idea, by the way. That was God's idea. Verse 3. What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? No, not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I am using human arguments. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Or why do I still feel condemned? Why not say, as we are being slanderously reported as saying, and as some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result. Their condemnation is deserved. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Verse 12. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not anyone, not even one. Their throats are full of graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery marks their way, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a lot of words to say. They really aren't focused on anything but their own failure, and they're going to get more of the same. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Now, that's a wake-up call if you really understood what it says. It's every law that you've ever been given. No matter how much you try to do them right, you're going to fail, you're going to fall short. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So when you know the law, meaning the Ten Commandments, if you wish, you at least are aware of what sin is. That was the purpose. That was the whole goal of God giving the law to Moses, because they didn't want to do it the easy way. They wanted rules and regulations so that they could prove themselves to be righteous. And they all failed. Not too swift, right? But verse 21 says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. Try that one on for size. Close your eyes. Say now. A righteousness from God. Totally separate from the law. Has been made known. Why am I stopping there? Let you think about that. Because if you don't take that into consideration, you're going to continue using the law on yourself and beat yourself up with it. And you'll never be able to get blessed from God. You'll never get healed from God. Because your whole attitude about self is that you're ugly. How many know God doesn't bless ugly? He doesn't? Not in your own eyes. He won't bless ugly.
Okay, now I understand.
If you think of yourself as ugly, how can he bless you? You wouldn't even bless you. You'd turn away. You say, why would I bless somebody that's ugly? I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about inner seeing of yourself as hopeless and ugly. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. It's got to be done away with completely so that you get a new vision of who you are in Christ. You say, I'm born again, and I'm still acting like a sinner. Well, baloney. God didn't write the sinners through St. Paul. He wrote the saints. So you've got to get an attitude change. Yeah. Big time. That purpose of that little book every day is to prod you into seeing how holy you are in Him. How blessed you are in Him. How loved you are in Christ. You say, well, I don't feel it. Tough cookies. You don't feel the wind sometimes, but it's still real. Amen? Amen. Do you see the radio waves? Ah. How many of you have a cell phone? Do you see the power coming in before it rings? No. You don't see one iota happening in front of you, but it still rings when somebody pushes the right button. When you push the same Holy Ghost button and start thinking about yourself the way God says, I have delivered you, you're going to get healed. And you're going to stop this stupid worrying about everything and about everyone. And I say it's stupid because God says it's stupid. You have what? Now a righteousness from God. Say it to your neighbor. You are righteous from God. Separate from the law. I can just feel the fuming that's going on the interior. I'm serious. It is totally, totally absurd that you should feel righteous. Until you realize what Jesus did for you. Okay? I'm going to repeat it again, verse 21. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law of the and the prophets testified. In other words, they prophesied it was going to be, and now we can own it because it's ours. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to all who believe. There's your condition. It's simple. Can you choose to believe that He came to set you free? Can you choose to believe that He made you holy? Why did He die on that cross? To pay the price. For us to be holy. For us to be healed. For us to get a new attitude about me. I'm going to take all the glory. I want you to think of me holy and yourself ugly. Well, that's what the law says. See, the ones that lived in the law were so conscious of giving 10% and giving this and giving that that they were so focused on holy they were that the Lord looked at them and He says, you know, you're a bunch of hypocrites.
They worshiped themselves.
They worshiped themselves because they were doing the law. And they were doing it so good that they wanted the one that failed to be killed instantly. Oh, come on, let's stone this woman. Huh? We caught her in adultery. Come on. You know the scripture. I don't need to go there. You understand what He did. He wrote on the ground all their sins. And they all walked away, the oldest one leaving first. Why? Because the older you get, you see how ugly you are.
Amen.
I'm a little older than most of you, so I know a little more about me than I did. You understand? I know about my weaknesses, but He took care of those on the tree. He took care of my weaknesses on that tree. He got rid of that sin out of me. And I have faith in Him instead of in me. I have faith in His ability and what He paid the price to give to me as a free gift. You see, it's so cheap to really understand that God would pay such a price on that cross. And we think of it as cheap, but it's not. It's totally the opposite. It costs the Father everything to look at His Son dying. And as I'm driving in this morning, Holy Spirit said to me, Kim, how would you do watching your son Rick on the cross tomorrow? And I started to break on the interior. Okay? I started to break on the interior. And then I had a flash vision of my youngest son. And you know what? It didn't get any easier. Papa, of all spirits, watched his firstborn son die on a tree to pay for your sinfulness. And for your lawlessness. And for your disabilities. And all your sicknesses and diseases. Everything. He paid it all. And He made you righteous. What does righteousness mean? It means right standing before God, ready to receive whatever He's prepared for you. Not because of your attitude on yourself, but because of what His promise is. You see, this is good news. That's what the word gospel means, by the way. Good news. Verse 22, I want to repeat. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference from all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace. Justified freely by your legal attitude towards yourself? No. But that's where you live. I'm pushing buttons hard today. Because you see, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. It's supposed to be a lover's day. The first person I want you to realize whose love is you. Close your eyes right now. Say, the first person I'm to love is me. If I'm good enough as I am to be loved by the Most High God, enough to let His Son die for me, it's about time I get in agreement with Him and realize I am loved. And He made me lovely. He made me lovable. And He made me healable. He did it. And all I had to do was accept Him. So the unbelief in me today, I now stand against it. In Jesus' name. I will not bow to those lies and those accusing thoughts that say I'm not worthy to be healed. I'm not worthy to be blessed. Everybody else gets a promotion and I get a demotion because of my attitude towards me. In case you didn't get it, I'm preaching. You got it?
Got it.
Wear it! You understand? Put on the garment of faith. Put on the garment of praise. It's not something that's going to come upon you by somebody else throwing it at you. I'm trying to tell you, you are in the control room. You have the free will. He didn't say, I'm going to come over and bless you in spite of your attitude. Well, come on. Are you catching on? He wants to bless you because you believe in the one who did the work for you. All you got to do is cash in the check. He signed it already. In His own blood. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm catching it. I'm becoming holier by the minute. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 25. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement or payment through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. But he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just. And the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus, where then is the boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is that clear?
Yes.
So I'm going to celebrate that victory today. And love myself.
And love myself.
Like Jesus loves me.
Like Jesus loves me.
And I'm going to love my neighbor.
And I'm going to love my neighbor.
Like he loves me.
Like he loves me.
With the same kind of love.
Kind of
it's going to be the best Valentine.
It's going to be the best Valentine.
That I've ever had.
That I've ever had.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor. Say you're off the hook.
You're off the hook.
No more guilt.
No more guilt.
No more condemnation.
No more condemnation.
He set you free.
Set you free.
And he set me free.
And he set me free.
Share some of his love.
Kim.
Yes, dear.
Back to Joseph Princeton devotional. Yeah. Sometimes God allows us to make a mistake for his purposes.
Yeah.
So on February 8th, I turned to January 8th without realizing.
Yes. Okay, hold on there. I want to make sure we get this. Go for it, girl.
This is, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Jesus is my healer. I am healed. I receive my healing. I rest in God completely. When I refuse to worry but choose to rest in the finished work of Christ, I will see the manifestation of my blessing.
Aha!
Amen.
That is an amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I turned to the wrong page.
How many know he can send you to a different date on a separate day? Because he did it already, several times. Now close your eyes. Father, I ask that you would release blessings to the finances so that we would be able to pay the bills on time. I ask that every single one would obey the Holy Spirit and give what God tells them to give, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.